On March 14th, a spot appeared on the screen of my left monitor at work. At the time, it was a non-event, just a speck of dust or a bug resting on the lens of one of the exterior cameras. But it ended up being a defining moment in the downfall of my life. I worked at a company that I won't name, a small business in the warehouse district of my city. My job was a simple one that confined me to a desk, allowing me plenty of free time, peace and quiet, and a plethora of benefits. I was overnight security. 4 years were spent in an undecorated back office, sat at a desk of suitable size for a dorm or bedroom. On it were two monitors, one that displayed the exterior cameras, the other, the few interior cameras that were solely on the warehouse and entrances. There were plenty of blind spots in the building, but the company wasn't large or notable enough to have any real fear of break-ins or theft. In fact, in the 4 years I worked for them, the most notable thing I came across was a drunk man falling asleep on the doorstep and waking up a few hours later with the most bewildered look on his face. That was until the spot appeared. I had stared at these cameras, their angles, for hundreds of hours. I knew precisely what each showed. Every pixel was ingrained into my mind, appearing in my dreams due to their familiarity. While I had taken a more lax approach as comfort grew in the job, often spending my time reading or playing on my phone, there was no escaping such intimate knowledge. And the spot wasn't there before. It was still there on March 15th. Same place, same size. Identical enough that I was convinced that the cameras needed cleaning. It wasn't my job to do so. But having to stare at the blotch was a far larger inconvenience than the 5 minutes it would take to clean off the lenses. I took a ladder and cloth out to the back of the loading bay. Spray bottle hung from my belt loop as I began the ascent. It didn't seem as if anything had sullied the lens, aside from some dust collected around the outer rim, but I wiped it down regardless. I was content that the job had been done as I descended and made a cursory glance at the wall the camera faced, and saw that it was still the same collection of porous cinder blocks it had always been. And when I sat down, it remained. Same mark, same position, no smear, or minimized in the slightest. I made a note for the owner, citing a faulty camera facing the loading bay, and the details of my attempted fix. My job was done, it was on him to replace or fix whatever was malfunctioning. I saw him on March 16th, told me he hadn't seen the spot I was talking about and that everything should be fine. I went into work with a clear mind, lasted all of a few seconds as I settled down, unpacked my bag and focused on the screens in front of me. Immediately I rushed to grab him to show him what was wrong, only to see him pulling out of his parking space out front. I was to be left alone with it again. Another night couldn't be spent under duress. I refused it. I was going to fix the issue no matter how long it took me. It sounds absurd to be so distressed by such a simple thing, but it was disturbing my peace. The proper order of things, like a dead pixel on a screen, an infuriating yet minute issue. An overreaction at the time? Maybe. But I got up in a huff, stomped through the entire building to retrieve my ladder, cloth, and spray bottle once more, and head out into the warehouse to exit into the loading bay. I didn't even make it out the door. Froze at the precipice between sheen concrete floors and the ramp. From inside, I could see it. A black mark the size of my fist on the wall. For a few seconds, I stared at it. Tried to tell its texture or origins, but it just seemed hollow. Like someone had punched through the wall to reveal an infinite depth behind it. No graffiti, not a stain. I could see the edges of the blocks in the wall, where they had broken away to reveal the nothing. There was no chance of me going out to check on it closer. Those brief glances were more than enough to know it was outside of my pay grade. All I did was go back and check the stored video from the day at the safety of my desk. I watched every person who walked into frame, any sign that vandalism had taken place, and that I was afraid of a painted mark on a wall. Not one. My entire night was spent reviewing footage, all focus on my actual duties cast aside to see who the perpetrator had been. There wasn't one. Not a single soul had paused in front of that area enough to notice the mark, or to create it. It just was there. A sole spot designed for me to attack my psyche. My shift ended. I left another note. I came in. Was told the camera was working fine, that no vandalism had taken place, and not to worry. I accepted it that time. Maybe mania, a lack of sunlight finally getting to my brain, a last grasp at logic. And it was there. Of course it was there. Would always be there. My next two shifts, sat, stared at me, mocked me, let me know that this was mine alone to suffer with, the smallest unknown annoyance created solely to torture me. Who else would be so perturbed by an innocuous black spot? Me. Had to be me. Too afraid of it to inspect it alone, to confront a wall, I left another note and was promptly told the next day to stop with whatever asinine charade I was taking part in. I was wasting company time and would receive a formal write-up if I continued. I snapped. March 23rd, I arrived, grabbed my boss by his arm, dragged him out into the loading bay while he protested all the while, struggled against my grip. He warned me of disciplinary actions and arrest as we got out of the building. I needed vindication. Had to know that it wasn't some cruel joke to test my sanity. It was there, as dead and deep as ever, a fist-sized hole in the fabric of the universe. See? See! I screamed at him. It's been there the whole time! What is it? Let go of me, he yelled back. Someone call the police already. He tugged at his own arm, his whole body weight anchored against me. I'm not proud of what I did next, but I had to get confirmation. I saw that his head was turned, back into the parking lot, trying to signal someone to aid him. So I grabbed it, both hands on either side of his face, and twisted his head, forcing him to look at the offending wall. Tell me it's not there. It's a freaking wall. Now let go of me. I'm not sure if he pushed me or hit me to get him off, but the words were a strong enough blow to make my hands release him. Get out of here before I call the police. I heard the words, but I couldn't help but stand still, mouth hanging open as I stared at the morsel of the void in front of me. It seemed larger now, maybe enough to fit two hands into. Leave or spend the night in jail. He walked away, leaving me to wonder just what had appeared to me and why. Perhaps it was stupidity that spurred me forward, but I couldn't help but walk up to the spot and reach out my hand. I wouldn't be allowed here again, and I had to know just what was causing me my job, even if it was a strange hallucination. My movement was slow, not wanting my fingers to collide with concrete should the tear not actually exist. It was real, though, and my fingers slid inside. I couldn't see them anymore. They weren't covered in shadow, but seemed to disappear entirely like they were amputated. I could still feel them, however, still move them. So I reached in further to my knuckles at first, and then to my wrist. There was a slight warmth to it, almost humid, but that was the only feeling. Even as I sunk my arm in up to my elbow and swung it from side to side, it didn't collide with anything. Nor could I feel the air against my hairs on my arm as it moved, a true void. There was both hatred and reverie in that moment, but any admiration or interest I had in my discovery changed as soon as I went to pull my arm out. I couldn't. It wasn't that there was some kind of pressure or suction keeping me there. I felt something. Another hand, it grasped mine like we were shaking hands, an immense strength that I couldn't possibly break free from, as if the hand was fastened to the world itself. I struggled and screamed and pushed my foot into the wall to try to rip myself backwards, but it was all futile. Only one positive existed, that it was not trying to pull me in, as it could have done so with ease if it wished. I continued to yank and struggle with every ounce of desperation I could muster until I was launched backwards and freed for seemingly no reason at all. I scrambled up to my feet, got in my car, and got home as fast as possible. That was yesterday. I've not slept since. It's not the knowledge of the void. It's something lives inside it, keeping me awake. Nor is it the vague, transistory numbness that I feel in my arm. What's keeping me awake is the small, fist-size, pitch-black mark that's appeared on my living room wall. My plan to deal with the terror was a childish one, ultimately foolish, but it proved me a degree of respite I couldn't obtain, knowing whatever was inside could reach through into my living room. Something lived inside, I knew that much, but its desires were unknown to me. If it wished to come across into our world, it did not want the gateway to be in the middle of my home. So I unstacked my bookshelf, pushed it to block the hole, and restacked it. A mixture of a barricade and alarm system of sorts, allowing me to know if anything tried to come through. Out of sight, out of mind. I was running from the problem, but what more could I do? The next few days went by without a hitch. aside from my hand, which had developed some bruising on the palm and around the knuckles. Damage, I assume, from how fiercely I was gripped by whatever lived inside. I was able to focus on hunting for a new job, and walking around my apartment free from troubled thoughts. It was likely still there, but I felt in time it would grow bored of my passivity towards it and move on to someone more easily perturbed. Maybe I let my guard down too much. I believed myself safer than I actually was, but I felt confident enough to go out, have a few drinks, catch up with some friends who were blissfully unaware of my troubles. You look like shit. Even your eyes are going gray, were the first words said to me. A shock, given how much better I'd felt since the long nights and obsessive thoughts had vanished. Maria had said it with a grin, though. Playful jab, hopefully. Not based in any reality. I didn't comment on it, nor did anyone else. The entire night was spent with harmless small talk and catching up. I did not mention my firing, nor the events surrounding it. Another step towards complete avoidance of the tear, fueled by far more alcohol than was reasonable. I drank as fast as they came. The rest of the night became a blur. I didn't drive myself there, thankfully, but had no recollection of walking through the front door, nor of flopping face down onto my bed. Clearly, too inebriated to remove my shoes before passing out. Aside from my head pounding and a slight haze to my view, I was fine on waking. Spirits were as high as possible for the day ahead. No consternation paused me before I shuffled out of my bedroom with the intention to go to the kitchen, but I was greeted with a problem. Maria was asleep on my couch, shoes kicked off and curled up under a blanket with a pillow beneath her head. Not an unusual sight, crashing at each other's homes was par for the course. It was what was next to her that was the issue. The bookshelf, only a few inches away from her feet as they dangled over the armrest. Get up. Get up now. We gotta get you out of here. I sprinted over to her and began yanking at her shoulders. She looked up at me with half-open eyes that were teeming with confusion and annoyance. Back off. Let me sleep, she grumbled. Come on. Come on. Up. Come on. Fire. It was the first thing that came to mind as I pulled her up to sit. Anything that would get her to safety. What? Where? She looked around, unable to see any smoke or hear any alarms. What's going on? You have to leave. You have to leave now. I tried pulling her up by her arm, but she pulled it back with force. What are you doing? Stop! She got up and looked at the other end of the couch, away from me, at the bookshelf. I deflated in that moment, unable to keep up with the ruse or stop my own fears from overwhelming me. My head turned and I looked at the bookshelf. On either side of it, that depthless nothing crept outward. A few inches on both sides, enough to be obvious that it had spread in my days of ignoring it, likely as wide as my shoulders now. What is wrong with you? I heard her grumble as she began to gather her things. I'm scared. A meek whisper carried my words. Yeah, of what? I didn't hesitate to tug at the bookshelf and move it a few inches so that the hole could be seen better. I moved around the front and pointed at it. Of that. It showed up at work. Now here, it's growing. I turned to look at her and she stared right at it. I need to go. No, wait, no, you need to tell me if you can see it, I asked as she moved her way to the front door. Just leave me alone, were her words as the door shut behind her. A string of profanities left my mouth. Unbridled frustration and fear flew in rapid succession. Fueled by anger, I retched at the bookshelf hard enough that it toppled over and revealed the extent of the growth. My estimations were right. Approximately as wide as my shoulders and a full foot in length, though it tapered inward at the bottom. What are you? I smashed both my palms onto the wall above it, repeated strikes that punctuated each word that left my mouth. Leave me alone! Stinging palms rested against the pane above it. My head hung down to my chest as I heaved in deep breaths, eyes focused on the floor in front of me. Please, I'm begging. The words were weaker this time, desperate. I've done nothing. I raised my head slightly, enough that it was eye level with the hole. The darkness wasn't complete anymore. Two blue lights, an inch away from each other, had appeared, each with a dime-sized hole in the middle. I didn't realize what I was looking at until the pupils contracted. I took a sharp, shuddered inhale as I stepped back from the hole and could now see the vague outline of the figure inside of it. A humanoid in shape, but featureless aside from its eyes, shrouded in darkness, making any facet of its form invisible. A human, or something that wanted to appear as such. The eyes were just off enough, too bright, the colors solid and without detail, like someone who had created an imitation of the human eye. It shook its head from side to side to let me know that my ordeal would not end anytime soon. "What do you want from me? What have I done?" I asked, on the verge of tears from the dread inflicted by it. Both of its shoulders raised and lowered, a slow shrug before it closed its eyes and blended back into the void, the instant that its eyes were covered. I just stood and stared, frozen in place, my eyes fixated on where the figure had appeared from. I didn't trust to turn my gaze away, fearing that it would crawl through when my back was turned and drag me into its realm. I backed up into the bedroom and fumbled around in my covers for my phone and wallet. At no point did I break eye contact with a hole, but fortunately, I didn't see it return. All I knew in that moment was that I needed to go, to run, get as far away from my home as possible. With my belongings gathered, I inched along the living room wall, kept my back pressed into the paint to maintain as much distance from the other side as possible. Even when I reached for my keys, I kept my head turned to stare at the hole and whatever lived inside. And only when I had them in hand did I break my gaze, turning and sprinting to the front door. In my panic, I didn't know if I locked the door or not. My sole focus was making it to my car and getting away from my home. There was no destination in mind. The thing could and would follow me. And to what end? I wasn't sure. Somewhere buried in convoluted logic, I believed that if I didn't know where I was heading, then neither could it. I drove until there was only fumes in my tank, filled it, and drove it near empty again. The sun had dipped and the night enveloped the world. The sun had dipped and night enveloped the world. A state that filled me with unease, disturbed by the fact that a terror could be created in secret and swallow me in my car hole, a fate I would never see coming, and be hopeless to escape. Endless, doomed possibilities forced me to turn off the highway, an exit I made sure not to look at the names of, as to keep my temporary home a secret from even myself. A chain hotel waited by the side of the road, well illuminated by neon signs and fluorescent streetlights that washed away any shadows and mitigated the worries of an unseen rip engulfing me. I didn't linger in the parking lot regardless. Inside seemed even safer, with not a dim corner to be found in the lobby. I asked for a ground floor room, not wanting to be trapped three stories up, and was granted my request. My room's main lights were also on when I unlocked the door, yet I made a point to turn on every bulb that existed. Even the television was turned on for its added effulgence. There would be no surprises, and if I was somehow followed by it here, I would be well aware of its arrival. My home would be temporary, another mindless day of travel ahead. I'll stay here, 3 days at a maximum, just to see if it shows up. Either way, I'll move again. Where I'll end up, or for how long, I don't know. If I can gain some kind of peace here, for more than a few hours, a clear head, or at least an imitation of mental fortitude. I plan on doing some research, scouring the internet for anyone else who might have seen these rips or things that created them. If it won't stop following me, I need to learn. I need to learn how to seal them at the very least, otherwise. Yeah. I don't want to think about it otherwise. I slept for too long, lulled by the perceived security of an unknown location, an illuminated room, and medicated by everything in the minibar. I dragged myself into the bathroom, still half asleep, unable to shake the fatigue from my body. Maria was right, my eyes had dulled. No longer the sky blue they had been all my life. They looked sick now, tired enough that they couldn't sparkle any longer. They matched the rest of me. A few splashes of water on my face later, and I was able to shuffle out into the main area of the room that combined the kitchen and living room. He waited for me there. I extended sleep long enough for it to follow my tracks and find me. Much larger than in my home, now covered the vast majority of the door. Close to 6 feet in height, same width that it had been behind the bookshelf still. Just large enough for me to step directly into. It was not unoccupied either. Two crystalline eyes peered into my room, blinking on occasion. I let out a puff of air through my nostrils, the smallest chuckle I could muster at the hopelessness of my situation. It's strange to feel hopeless. You imagine you might become braver and willing to fight to the death, or willing to throw a chair through a window and keep running and running until old age takes you. In reality, for me, I was struck by apathy. I wasn't willing to do much of anything. I felt defeated by the depths of nothing in front of me. "So what now?" I asked into the nothingness, as I stood just a few feet away from it. "Do you kill me? Take my body? Drag me to hell? I don't get it. I don't get why you're doing this to me, specifically. You're just following me. Why? Let's settle this, yeah? I don't want to live like this." Like before, the being let its shoulders rise and fall. This time, however, it extended a hand outward and into this reality. Darkness no longer gave it mystery and allowed it to hide its true form, pale skin. Thick layer of dark hair covered the forearm and crept onto the back of its hand. It swam its hand from side to side, grasping at the air, searching for something. It mimicked me. The exact emotions from when I had reached through into its world, with the exact arm I had done so with. Curiosity compelled me to see it through. I stepped forward and grabbed its hand the way that it had mine. It was warm, alive, a slight calmness, a slight clamminess to it. Almost human. Except for the fact that there was no give to it. Sponginess of flesh and muscle were absent, replaced by firmness. Like the being was carved from rock. We stared at each other in the eyes, and I watched as it tried to retract its hand, identical motions to my own struggle, yet with not of the panic in its eyes. I let go, fell backwards, tumbled onto the ground, and sprinted out of view. I scowled, unsure what it meant or why it felt the need to recreate our initial meeting. I just stood there, peered into the void and hoped that it would return with some answers. My fear of it had subsided slightly, as a half-belief swelling in me that it was just trying to communicate with me. The gesture almost seemed friendly, perhaps a hint of mockery for my panic, but certainly not malicious. "Why did you do that?" I spoke at a higher than normal volume, hoping my words would carry into the void. It reappeared, sliding into view from the side that it had run off from, and shrugged again. "You don't know why you're doing the things you do?" Again, a shrug. "Are you the one making these holes?" Shook its head. Can you see my world?" It nodded. "Is your world like mine?" It shook its head. "What's it like?" It shrugged. "Can I see it?" I don't know why I said it, nor why the thought came to mind. Something about the being's mimicry of me, paired with its almost childlike responses to my questions, made me curious where it had come from. It didn't seem capable of hurting me, nor have any desire to. Two chances to crush my hand had been passed by, to drag me through to its world. I could never have stopped it. It nodded. "Will I be able to come back through?" It put its arms through again and retracted it after a couple of seconds. "Put your arm through again," I told it, and it followed my instruction. I had obsessed over it, enough so that I lost my job, feared it enough that I had lost a friend, grew scared of shadows, but it was all for the same reason, uncertainty. I did not know what it was. I could not comprehend where it had come from or how it was created. So I could learn a guided tour by a being that would be familiar with it and seem friendly enough. Perhaps if I were more awake, I would have continued the charade longer, put up more of a fight, avoided the hole until it was wearing me down further. But it was always going to end this way, and it had to. It wouldn't leave me alone. It could follow me endlessly. I would be the one to tire, not it. Every end of this starts with me walking through. "You promise you won't hurt me, right?" Stupid question from a frazzled mind, as if it would have admitted any ill will. It nodded. I grabbed onto the mirror image of my own arm with both my hands. My breathing quickened as I felt my body be pulled forward. A slow, inevitable momentum as the black mark on the door neared. There was no turning back now, no way to avoid entering the being's world. A familiar humidity hit my hands first, then my arms, elbows, feet, knees. My nose was an inch or two away when the panic beset me. I didn't want to go any further. I realized how foolish I'd been to be so impulsive. I tried to pull back to no avail as my nose and chin felt the warmth as well. I sucked in a breath, unsure when I would be able to get my next, as I was submerged in darkness. There was ground beneath me, but very little to see. The darkness of its realm was not due to an inability to see into the tear, but its general state of being. A world that light could not brighten. I felt as if I had a torch on me. It would have not shown me a single detail, no matter how close I held it to an object. The being still held onto my hand as I looked around, a soft grasp to ensure I didn't wander too far. I began to wander and scanned the world for any sign of life or detail. I saw something in the distance, a tiny ball of light, and headed towards it. I saw more of them as I walked in all directions, different sizes and shapes of light, some as small as a pinprick, only noticeable due to the contrast against the darkness. Others were as large as windows. I got close to one and saw a car parked, the faint outline of a prone person sprawled in the back seat, before I was shoved backwards and away from the tear by a being I couldn't see. The force of the push made me stumble a few feet backwards and caused immense pain through my chest where it impacted, but it was the lack of pressure on my hand that caused me true concern. My guide had let go. Never had I felt such a sudden and violent dread overcome me. Similar to the sheer panic of a child being abandoned inside a supermarket, I ran to each tear that seemed large enough to be the one that I had come through and was shoved away from each, all with different views and subjects they seemed to spy on. I had a vague notion of the direction that we traveled in, but I found myself turning in circles often. It's only by sheer luck that I saw the interior of the hotel room I stayed in. And I sprinted towards it, calling out to my guide that I was lost to help me, but I received no reply. The tear seemed to shrink the nearer I got to it, a steady constriction that had reduced to the size of my torso. Now still a few feet away. I got to it too slow. When it was just large enough to fit both my arms through, I grabbed at the sides and tried to pull, as if I had the strength to rip it wide enough for me to fit through. Up close, I could see the view of my hotel room as it shrank and myself standing in the middle of it. Oh, you. You! Why? I screamed out to myself. The mirror of me turned and stared at me for a second as the hole grew smaller enough to force my fingers out, and through the pinhole I saw its eyes. Grayer now than before as it shrugged and walked off right before the hole closed. I heard others screaming and cursing, pleading to be let back through as the other holes grew and closed until not a single tear was visible and true nothingness existed. Endless plays of misery followed, repeated over and over in pitch darkness. No matter where I ran or how I hid, I was always forced to see glimpses of what they did to us, toys to be drained and abused for their amusement. What we did to one another was no better. You'd hear it constantly. What anger and desperation made people commit. We were all civilized once. But the cruelty inflicted upon our minds turned us into animals, scared and savage. It's why I was so happy to see the light. Why I fought and clawed, bit and ripped to get a front row seat and stared through the pinhole. I learned everything about him through a spot that would have been impossible for him to notice. Up in the corner of his kitchen, he gave me something to see beyond the madness, something to learn aside from the violence I was surrounded by. He leads a nice life, a wife, a young child. Long days, but comfortable. It's hard to adapt to normal life again. Some unfortunate growing pains. Moments when I forgot how the world works. But he lives well now. I live well now. Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I just wanted to tell you thank you for watching tonight's video. Because this is October, I'm going to make this nice, short, and sweet. If you'd like to help support the show or the podcast, head over to patreon.com/MrCreepyPasta. If you'd like to get yourself some new Halloween and creepypasta-inspired teas, you can head over to etsy.com/shop/ivorymonocletea. And if you want to catch me, Creeps McPasta, and Mew during our live Halloween tour around the southern U.S., head over to creepypasta.shofetti.com. That's creepypasta.shofetti.com. Hang on to your hats, kids, because this year is a 31-day Halloween countdown. Happy Halloween and sweet dreams.